It's an NRL round review.
All over.
Round 19, round review podcast, and welcome back to Wild Panther MG.
Great to see you, my hard-rocking amigo. Good to be back, buddy.
Great to have you back. How are you feeling? You rested? You recovered?
Yes. Yeah, a good little week off, even though we couldn't go anywhere.
They can do bugger all.
But thanks to Gerds, my ex-teammate, for filling in the void. He's a great man, and ready to kick some butt this week, buddy.
Great to have you back, and no doubt you would have cast your eye over some of the football on the weekend. We're going to have a look back at all of it right now. Let's go all the way back to Thursday, when this round kicked off with an upset. The Parramatta Eels taking on the Canberra Raiders. No Mitchell Moses, we know, but the Raiders were without both Jack Whiten and this young fullback excitement machine, Xavier Savage. 12-10, they got it done.
Yeah, let's first talk about the Raiders. That's three in a row from them, first time this year. And I put a line through them about 6 weeks ago. I said there's no hope of them coming back from the turmoil that they were undertaking at the time. And, well, I think I'm going to take that back because all of a sudden they look settled. Their defence against the Eels was awesome. The fifth string fullback, Jordan Rapana.
He was great.
He ran for, I think, 250 metres. They're back. They're back in the game. And they seem to have got all the rubbish out of their bin and they've deleted it. And now they're getting on with the task. They only sit, Liam, a game outside the eight. Mm. Unbelievably.
And so, important points as well, MG. Papali'i went off in the 34th minute.
Yep.
With concussion.
No Whitehead.
Didn't come back. Sutton went out in the 28th minute. They did. This was under duress.
This was their best win of the year by a mile. No Whiten, no Whitehead, no Papali'i for most of the game. Joseph Tarpany seems to be it seems to have clicked to him that he's the alpha male in this team, and he's going to take this team to the final footy, looks like, in the back of Rapana as well. So, but the Parramatta, so disappointing to be, in that position. And just because, Mitchell Moses was out, they just didn't seem to click in any type of way. Mm. They looked dysfunctional. They looked clunky. And they just didn't look like a top four team on Thursday night. Raiders, but all kudos to them.
Well, I mean, if you're a Manly Seagulls fan right now, the form that they're in hunting down a top four spot, Parramatta are stalled on the highway. You'd think you can catch them. But this is what we saw of Parramatta last year. I feel like we saw a very similar season out of the Eagles last year. Is it the time of year, do you think? Is it fatigue? Is it the playing list isn't up? What is it?
Seems to be a bit of stage fright that they come to this end of the season and they kind of go, well, geez, this is the business end and we're not used to the business end. Mm. And they should have beat Canberra, and I think Brad Arthur would have reiterated that today at their meetings and yesterday at their meetings and Saturday at their meetings and Friday at a crisis meeting. What's going on, boys? There's no real positives to take out of it, to be honest. I just think they were outplayed big time.
Yeah. All right, we move along. The win makes it very interesting, that race for those last spots in the eight with the Raiders now very much back in contention. We go along to Friday night. The Roosters 28-8 over the Knights. They trailed 8-0. They were down 8 points to zip. And for mine, MG, I know Tom Trbojevic is shocking the world every time he sets foot on a rugby league field. And I know Nathan Cleary's start to the season was just professional, faultless. But James Tedesco is the best player in the game.
The most consistent. It's consistently the best. Yes, I agree with you.
And this was his lows are he does not have bad games, but this was a high. This was a real top of the tree, as good as you can get performance. Four try assists, four line break assists, 224 meters. He did everything.
Awesome. It seems to be, Liam, he knows when his team needs something. And when they're behind by 8-0, he gradually got more involved in the game. Started going dummy half, scooting out of dummy half. His first 5 metres when he runs the ball are just dynamic. He got such big strength through his hips.
So strong.
He's unbelievable. Yeah, I'm with you. He is the best player in the game, the most consistently the best of the player.
Yeah.
He's been doing this for 5 years. But on the other hand, they just let a golden opportunity go. The Knights, who's, stay in 11th position and they could have been right up there if they continued their form after the first 10 or so minutes, but they just capitulated massively. There's nothing much to say about the Knights, but this is all about the Roosters who are sitting comfortably in fifth spot on 26 points and with an injury toll.
Billy Smith, God.
Ikavalu, the same thing, you know.
Both ankle injuries.
Yeah, and unbelievable, unbelievable.
And Josh Morris, though, you know, wake up call. And now, you know, I think Trent Robinson said in the post-match, yep, he'll be straight back in. And yeah, he knows what's expected of him.
He hasn't seemed to have been the same since his brother had that injury. And I think it's hit him really emotionally, the finding that his brother's finished his career and they've done it all together. And when such a big void in your life is gone, it's kind of a little bit sad. And I think that's how he's been playing sad, you know. But I think what's Trent Robinson, who seems to be one of the best man managers in the game, I think he'll work it out. And that week off for J-Miles was probably just the week he needed.
Second Friday night game, Cowboys Storm. You could tell this was a Cowboys outfit playing for their season. 20-16, the Storm just getting there. And great to see Ryan Pappenhausen return, 34 minutes off the bench for him. But talk about the effort of this Cowboys outfit first, because they really, they fought it out. Todd Payton should be proud and no doubt would be proud despite the loss.
Yeah, they were awesome. This is more about them than there was the Storm. The Storm it's the 15th game in a row. They've had their foot flat on the accelerator for a long time now, and there's going to be instances where they're going to be off a bit, and teams have got to take advantage of that. And I think the Cowboys did. The Cowboys played aggressively. They kind of thwarted anything that went wide. Their defense on the edges was good, but most importantly, they matched the big men of the Melbourne Storm, whose job in the last 15 rounds that they've won has been to monster other forward packs. And the Cowboys stood up to him. And I agree. Todd Payton would be really buoyed by the fact that his team can do that against the best team in the comp.
At the same time, though, I think that does probably put a line through their season. They're now two games outside of the eight. And with the form the Raiders are in and the Titans as well, we'll get to them in a moment. But you would think it's a bridge too far now for the Cowboys.
Well, six games to go. Look, if they win four of them, you know, I'm not quite sure who they've got. If I have a quick look here, the Cowboys have got Broncos, win that. Titans, maybe. Tigers, Eels, Dragons, Seagulls. So they could win four of them.
Okay.
They could win four of them games.
They would need to win four. They'll still probably need some results to go their way if they're going to scrape home. Melbourne Storm, very briefly, look, Craig Bellamy's put his team in a position where they could rest Cam Munster and Felice Kaufusi and Dale Finucane and still get our way with a 4-point victory. So,
that resting of players this time of year is so, so important. So, so important. They'll come back next week and I would not be playing the Penrith this Saturday night. Who are down on troops.
Yeah.
This is going to be a massive round. A few good games coming up, which we'll do the preview on Thursday. But, I think Craig Bellamy would be disappointed by his team. But also, I think he's going to get something out of the fact that they've just set a record of 15 straight wins. And that's something that's very hard to do in the comp.
Saturday, first game on the Saturday card. Wayne Bennett rated a 6 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
The Bunnies ran 11 tries through against the Warriors, 60-22.
Yeah,
troops as well.
This was the mercy rule should have been applied here. Put the white flag up because it was just Reece Walsh didn't start the game in any sort of, you know, fanfare. He just kicked a couple of balls in a touch and a couple of bombs that he put dead, and it was just kind of, you know, a bit erratic for the game. I think he was a bit stage fright. You know, he looked at the up ahead and got Latrell Mitchell coming in, Cody Walker. I think the big story about this, and we spoke about it on the show, is if any team can come back from having 50 points scored on them in a competition, I think this team that Wayne Bennett's assembled can do the job. Look,
you said Latrell Mitchell, that at the time. You said that at the time.
I'm starting to really believe it because Jairo, for his misdemeanors, back. They've got Callum Mutangi and Jaden Sua, arguably the best back rowers in the comp on their day, in unison. Cook, Murray, Johnson, Campbell, Graham, and then Walker and Reynolds. I mean, their team is littered with superstars. And the one big positive they've got, Liam, is their coach.
Yeah, the master.
But
hasn't Latrell Mitchell come back from Origin and just said, oh, I can just do this at club level too?
It's scary when somebody just says, because he ran through Bailey Sirenen, who has been defending fantastically this year. Like, Bailey Sirin is one of the game's best defenders, but when he scored that try down the blind side, he's got it and he said, I'm going to score here and no one's going to stop me.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thought for other teams that are going to play the Rabbitohs. They're legit, man. They're legit.
And they're only one win behind Panthers and Storm. They've just snuck up there sort of while everyone's been paying attention to the Storm and the Panthers.
Yeah, true.
Great to see Damien Cook, friend of the show, have a good game as well.
Massive game.
The bloke who seems to just be under permanent pressure of his spot in the Kangaroo side and his spot in the New South Wales side, and he had a tremendous game. So well done to the Bunnies and Cookie. Saturday, next game we get along to Manly 44, West Tigers 24. Manly just had too many bullets in the chamber, really, in the end for the West Tigers.
Yeah, simple as that. I think, and again, we spoke about this in the show, about they've got six games to go as well, the Tigers, and I think they've got to win four of them for Michael Maguire to keep his job as their coach. Mm. And it's good when you've got a team like the Seagulls, who have got obviously a standout player in Tommy Turbo, but Daly Cherry Evans plays the best game of the season. He was everywhere. I think the most improved players, blokes like Morgan Harper and Brad Parker and Ruben Garrick and all these ensemble players, Alakawatu, Paseka, you know, they're just even Croker at dummy half. I mean, this is the dark horse. This is the dark horse to win the comp.
And Marty Tapau's in great form.
Marty Tapau's in awesome form.
And Jason Saab has figured out what his role is in this team as well. Yeah, all the pieces are coming together very nicely for Manly. Gerds was a big fan of them last week as he spoke about that interesting list that they have. And Jake coming back from the hip injury as well.
Yeah, he added a bit of staunch to their defence, didn't he?
Mm.
They're honestly, look, if you look at Sid, they got Sharks. Then they've got Melbourne. Then they've got the Eels, Raiders, Dogs, Cowboys. So, the Storm game next week is going to be mouthwatering. Sharky this week too.
What about that for the Melbourne Storm, though? No wonder Craig Bellamy wanted to rest those players, Finucane and Munster and Kafusi, because he's got Penrith into Manly. Yep. Like, that is a real test.
And he's astute at doing that. He's been doing it for so long, and especially having players from his team invested in Origin so much over the years that he's been coaching, he knows exactly what button to push. And
he would have had that plan 2-3 months in.
Of course he would have.
He was doing that. Righto. Saturday night, Penrith Panthers, 18-12. Just a little bit of a wobble.
Yeah, they missed 66 tackles. You know, that's the most of any NRL team this year in any game. When you miss 66 tackles, you're going to let a team like Brisbane into the mix. I think Brian Tottle continues his amazing season. Billy Kickow.
Is he Dalian Winger of the Year right now?
Oh, of course he is.
Yeah.
Oh, him and the Fox.
Close run thing, I think.
The Fox scored his 100th try in his 121st game. that's a magnificent strike rate. I think it's out of them too.
Yeah,
Brian Tottle, but I think just shades him because of the way he gets so many meters from his forwards.
Post contact.
They looked rusty, the Panthers, didn't they? They looked a little bit rusty.
Mm.
But saying that, I think we missed an opportunity, the game that is, to make a stance on these head high tackles, which is all of a sudden vanished out of nowhere.
How is that not a send off?
If that's not a send off, nothing is this year. Nothing is. That was at least a sin bin. Did he get sin bin?
He was sin bin in the eighth minute. But that's a send off. The week magic rounds. So back in round 10, round 11, round 12, when this crackdown happened.
And so that's the thing.
That's a send off for 3 weeks.
Oh, easy. And Isaiah, was out of the game. And that's probably one of the reasons Penrith kind of faltered. We all talk about how good their team is, and they are. they're a great team. But I think the glue that holds them together is Isaiah Yeo. I think he's the man.
Well, you won't see him next week now for the Storm game.
No, you won't. You won't.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, we won't.
I haven't seen it yet. I'll go back and have a look. But the Graham Annesley debrief today that he does every Monday, and I think it's a really good thing that he does do it. But the football debrief, I will be fascinated to hear what the justification is that wasn't a send off.
Yeah,
because
what's that famous word we heard around Magic Round? What's the edict? What's the edict now? What's
yeah? Well, I haven't seen a single bit of commentary from a player, a pundit, a commentator, whoever, explaining how it wasn't. You know, sometimes when you get these circumstances, you say, oh, the player was slipping and he was ducking and he was blah, blah, blah. I haven't seen a single person say, oh, here's a reason why Thomas Legler shouldn't have been sent off.
Well, it wasn't fatigue because it was the 10th minute of the game.
So
it was
just, 8 minutes of the game.
You know, so come on, man. Yeah, come on.
All right. Get along to Sunday. And the mighty Titans roared. I've been waiting, MG. I've been waiting. I've been waiting. They finally woke up 32-10.
Yeah. And you know what? They're in 10th position all of a sudden on 16 points and still have a glimmer of a hope. I love that the debut of young Toby Sexton.
Sexy.
Yeah. He looks like a kicking goals for fun from the sideline and you know scoring his own try on the boo. But it was a great tactic from Holbrook to bring Fifita off the bench as well. As soon as he came off the bench, he was into the game. And I think that's where he's going to be used most. I think he's more. I think he's stronger when he comes off the bench, when he doesn't have to, you know, get in that early 15 to 20 minute dogfight that he kind of gets tired from.
Yeah.
So, look, yeah, I liked everything about it. But on the other hand, look, Barbecue Gate just won't leave the Dragons' psyche at the moment. They just look like they're a team that has put the key on the rack for the year. They just couldn't do anything. They couldn't score tries. They and that infamous day a few weeks ago, I think it's going to hurt them all year.
There is no other explanation for the situation they find themselves in. I don't know if Hook Griffin said anything particularly damning of the team and players in the post-match presser. I didn't see it, but I can't imagine how, you know, with everything that they've dealt with over the past couple of years with Jack DeBellin, that's been a cloud hanging over the club. That gets resolved. And then they find themselves in this situation.
That's the scratching of the head that everyone can't believe. That you've been in drama. The club has been in a cloud of drama for a few years now, and then you get out of it, and then you put yourself back into it.
But not only that, but then obviously there's players that are being told that they're not needed for next year, which is fine. It's part of the business, and they all get that. And you've seen fairly mature responses from Corey Norman about the fact that he's being let go. But then you have this situation where 10 of the 12 sign a document by the NRL stating that they agree to a version of events. Two don't. Players couldn't deny it and the club can deny it, but there's very obviously a split and a divide within this team.
Yeah.
And you can't win games of football like that existing like that.
You can't. And as much as Hook Griffin tries to, and I think he's had a real calming influence over this team, I just think it's a bridge too far. He's got to start looking to next season and finding out, you know, a bit like what Madge McGuire said last week in his press conference, he wants men to be wearing that jersey. At the moment, he needs some men to put the red V on and respect it.
Look, they hold on to 8th spot as it stands.
Unbelievably.
They're ahead of the Raiders on for and against. They've got a 26-point better differential than the Raiders. So they hold on there. Titans have got a better for and against, but they're obviously a game behind both those clubs. So it would take, I don't know, a come-to-Jesus moment for all players on that list at some point this week for them to stop the slide out of the 8, because they're not in great nick. All right.
They've got the Rabbitohs, so it doesn't get any easier for
good
them.
Good luck. If they deliver a 6 out of 10 performance, you can 50-12. Last game of the round. This was a game that Gerds tipped as an upset, MG. It was the Bulldogs hosting the Sharks at Seabus Super Stadium on the Gold Coast. In the end, the Sharks had too much, 44-24. But again, we see at the back end of these seasons improved performances from the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Led by English import Luke Thompson. I thought he was man of the match, to be honest, in a losing team, which doesn't happen very often. His sin binning probably cost him getting the man of the match, but he's looking at 3 weeks suspension because of that late hit on Brayley, which kind of gave him that whiplash. But yeah, look, at the halftime, they were down 30-6. So they showed some spirit. And I think the Dogs' mantra for the rest of the year should be, hang on, help is on its way. You know,
hang on.
Help is on its way. I'll be there as fast as I can. Because that is. I mean, they're trying their guts out for what they've got. And I can't – I've got to give them a big kudos for that because they just haven't got the team to beat other teams. Mm. And the Sharkies, they were in a bit of trouble. They were coming back with a roar, the Bulldogs, and the Sharks have got a, if they want to play semi-final footy this year, as we spoke about on the podcast, you know, the Sharks, they've got players coming out of their union coming next season. So.
Oh, yeah. From a Sharkies perspective, though, Sean Johnson, that hamstring, done for the season.
It's age at the moment for him and Matty Moylan. They seem to be picking up these minor injuries that have him out for 3 or 4 weeks, which can't help the cause. You know, it's when you've got someone, you've got a couple of young halfbacks, you know, around the club. Nico Hines is coming. I know that he's going back to New Zealand, Johnson, but these little niggling injuries don't help.
Again, you tip your cap to Josh Hannay, the job he keeps doing to keep the Sharkies in the hunt for finals. Nice bit of timing, though, as much as there can be around injuries, in that Matt Moylan looks like he could come back in next week for the game against Manly. And Braden Trindle, I thought, you know.
It was great. Yeah.
And the goal kicking as well.
Yeah, very.
Something that since
dick.
Chad Townsend has left hasn't been a forte of the Sharkies. So well done to Braden Trindle. But the Sharks just keep on grinding away, and their draw is such that you'd think that they'd hold on to an 8th spot, but they do need Moylan back if Johnson's going to miss. So
yeah, agreed.
Wait and see. All right, there it is. That's your Round 19 Review Podcast. MG, later this week, we're going to do a Round 20 Preview Podcast. We're into the
20s. We're in the 20s, baby.
Stay tuned for that. Grab the listener app. It's where we do all the extra stuff.